Well, good morning, church. How many of you have seen me before? I was a bit worried when I came for the first service and half the church was gone on camp. And then I heard Bob pray and he prayed for Paul Goodnight as he speaks. And I thought, I'm in the wrong church this morning. But I'm delighted to be back at Reston. And when I was assigned this topic of the Holy Spirit, particularly in regard to prayer, I thought to myself, of all the spiritual disciplines, this is perhaps the weakest area in my life. I shouldn't be preaching about it. But having taught theology and pneumatology, the person and work of the Holy Spirit, I thought I will prepare, and let me say, as I prepared, I actually prepared this for myself. I put together some podcasts, and if you're my friend or enemy on Facebook, you probably have seen the series. I actually broke it into four small parts to both time myself, but also to bring the gist and essence of this message. I was using the restroom before service, and I observed the Sunday school that takes place during this service. Isn't it wonderful to have children and they go and they get educated? We need to give a hand and a clap for all our Sunday school teachers. I must confess that even though I teach in a Christian university, there are a lot of students who are biblically illiterate. You know what I mean? They know a lot of even theology about God and issues, but they haven't really understood the Bible and what the Bible teaches, for instance, about the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad at Reston we have biblical teaching from this pulpit, whether it's through the book of James, and even looking at issues when it comes to pneumatology or charismania, if you may, and look at what the Bible says about it, even at the level of the Sunday school. When I thought about the Sunday school and what we learn, it reminded me of a very interesting incident of a Sunday school teacher who asked the little kids, who destroyed the walls of Jericho? And little Johnny raised his hand and she said, yes, Johnny. And he said, miss, I swear I didn't do it. So she was a little bit upset with this whole thing and met his mom during the break. And she said to, you know, his mom, Mrs. Smith, said, I asked the question, who destroyed the walls of Jericho? Your son Johnny puts his hand up and swears that he doesn't do it. What do you say about this? Well, Mrs. Smith said, you know, Johnny's growing up and he has a lot of problems, but lying is not one of them. If he said he didn't do it, he probably didn't do it. So by this time, she's really worried and exercised. And so I got to talk to the man of the house, meets the father, and says to Mr. Smith, I asked the question, who destroyed the walls of Jericho? And your son stands up and swears he doesn't do it. And your wife says, you know, you're probably saying the truth. What do you have to say about this? Well, he said, you know, do you have to make a big deal about it? Well, how much does it cost? Can I write a check? You know, sometimes when you think about issues and how we solve it, we have many opinions, but we don't delve into Scripture. So this morning, I want to unpack two essential passages about the Holy Spirit and prayer. The first one is from Romans and chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27. If you have your Bibles, if you turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, let me read the words of Scripture. Paul appeals in this dissertation when it comes to salvation, and in this section that addresses the work of the Holy Spirit, he says in verse 26, just as creation is groaning for its redemption, we live in a fallen world where even creation longs for its own perfection to come. And Paul says in the same manner, likewise, verse 26, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. When I was listening to the hymns, I thought, well, a lot of these hymns are about Jesus. I wonder if they're going to sing about the Holy Spirit. I'm a little bit of a Baptist, you know. I mean, I believe in the Word, but also the Holy Spirit. I thought, But then this last song, Jesus paid it all. Did you hear that stanza? My strength indeed is what? Small, weak. And it says here, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't even know what to pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit, I like this word, the Spirit auto, himself intercedes. He doesn't give this as a duty for someone or usher this as some, you know, endowment or spiritual. No, the Spirit himself implicates himself in interceding, praying for us, or literally on our behalf, with groanings too deep for words. What in the world does that mean? Groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts, that's God, of course, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because what? The Spirit, again, he reiterates, intercedes for the saints. And here's that little phrase, according to the will of God. So important to pray. Pray according to the will of God. Let me introduce what I'm going to say with this whole issue that many times when I teach, I give the class a little quiz as a startup. And let me ask our church this little answer. Where is Jesus? Have you thought about that? Where is the Lord Jesus? Well, I'll give you four options, and you have to choose one of the four, okay? Option number one, Jesus is in my heart. Option number two, Jesus is in his tomb, in the grave. If you mark that, you shouldn't belong to this church. All right. Jesus is in the tomb. Number three, Jesus is in his church among us. And number four, Jesus is in heaven above. Okay? If you think it's number... Should I ask you this? Is that okay? Okay. If you think Jesus is in my heart, would you raise your hand? Okay. All right. How many of you will say Jesus is in the tomb? Okay. I'm going fast, quickly. I'll pass that. Number three, Jesus is in his church. All right. Jesus is in heaven above. How many of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what I ask you this morning? All right. There you go. I knew there'll be a few like that. Okay. Listen. Again, please don't go and tell the Sunday school teacher that Chris Nyanakin came and ruined their lesson today. But technically, Jesus is not in our hearts. Jesus did not have an open heart surgery and come inside and say, you know, here's Johnny, you know. That's not what happens. Now, we understand. Again, the Bible is very clear. The ascension put Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And by the way, he's coming back again for us. So then, who is in our heart? Who is in the church among us? Now, you can see this is so important to understand about the Holy Spirit. I am so glad we're doing this series here at Reston. You know, we have this songs and phrases today, Come Holy Spirit. And you know, there are times when I think, like, where did he go? You're kind of welcoming him back. Where can you go from his presence? Or who moved the cheese? I mean, did he move? Come Holy. Now, I know what we mean when we say that. But today I want to be a little more theological, if you don't mind, put my professor cap on, to get us thinking. Thinking about the Holy Spirit. I remember learning about the Holy Spirit coming from India with all the other kinds of spirits among us, and then coming to this aspect of the New Age in America, where we become one with the Spirit in some yogic form, and you're caught up with the Spirit. And what is going on? Who is the Holy Spirit? We must go back to John chapter 14 and verse 26. 3 years have taken place after Jesus called his disciples, and he takes them to an upper room, and he's saying, you know what? Bye, I'm leaving. And John says, we were like orphans. We're like, what? What are you going to do? And they were worried. That's why John 14 starts by saying, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, you know. That whole section is to comfort them. And this is what Jesus says. I will ask the Father. So Jesus is distinct from the Father, right? He's praying. There's a distinction in person. And we will send you another helper. Now, follow this. Another helper, alos parakletos. The word allos, another, doesn't mean different one. That's the word heteros. Allos means another of the same kind. Just like I was with you and I multiplied the bread and gave you to eat. Peter, you remember, you caught a fish and I paid your taxes. I mean, I'm going to be with you, but even better, another parakletos. The word para means alongside, like parallel lines, and paramedic and parachute means alongside. Kaleo means to call. One who is called alongside. And listen to what Jesus says. This Holy Spirit, another comforter, because you're troubled, another encourager, because you need to be induced with strength. This another parakletos will not only be with you, listen to this, he's going to come in you. You know why? He will be with you. He will come in you so that he will lead you into all truth. Now, this is very, very important to understand that the Holy Spirit will come to teach us all things. He's an instructor. But we're going to go beyond that because my assignment this morning is to talk about the correlation between the Holy Spirit and prayer. God, the Holy Spirit. The third person in the Trinity. And I remember, I mean, I grew up with the King James Version when the missionaries came to India. And I remember talking about the Holy Ghost. I was like, whoa, ghost. I like Casper, the friendly ghost, but I mean, who is the Holy Ghost? Today we don't understand the Father, the Son, and the other one. Well, who is the other one? Father, Son, and Gucci, I guess. I mean, who is this Holy Ghost? Well, church, we need to pause and understand the importance of connecting with the Holy Spirit, that without him, we can do nothing. Now, a little bit of recap, and in my travels, I've been able to kind of catch some of Reston's online talk, and you've been having a good teaching regarding the Holy Spirit. Let me summarize it in a very cheesy way so that you can remember. The Holy Spirit basically has three essential functions. The person of the Holy Spirit, ontologically who he is and being, but then the function, what does he do? That's what pneumatology, the person and the work. So when you think about what the Holy Spirit does, we begin with the aspect that the first thing the Holy Spirit does is he comes to live within us. He convicts us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the first thing. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us new life in Christ. Regeneration, we call it. Listen to what Paul says. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. By one Spirit. When you heard the gospel of your salvation and you believed the gospel, you were sealed. With the promise, Jesus' promise, of the Holy Spirit that the Father promised to send at Pentecost, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. So church, listen to this. This sealing of the Holy Spirit speaks of eternal security, speaks of the authority with which God says you belong to me. You know, Paul had a problem child. Of all the churches, Corinth was messed up, trust me. But he writes to the church in Corinth, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, this is what he says. By one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. Wow. These were dirty, rotten scoundrels in this church. And he says, that's okay. By one Spirit were you all baptized into one body. So here it is. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and the sealing of the Holy Spirit is a one-time experience that takes place at salvation. If you have a problem, read the book by my mentor, John Stott, Baptism and Filling of the Holy Spirit. We get all this mixed up a lot, but this is a one-time experience. However, that's the beginning. Church, after the incoming of the Holy Spirit to live within us, and we get our, what they call, green card, permanent residence. He comes there to live with you. Now the Holy Spirit does something else. He now fills us. Now that is a continuous process. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13. 18 is a very good verse. Don't be drunk with wine. Isn't it interesting? You know what they call alcohol? Yeah, say it. It's in church, I know. Spirits, okay? Spirits. He says, that's the wrong spirit. Don't be drunk with that. But keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the control. Sometimes I tell them, pleroma, just don't translate the word fill. Maybe substitute for the word control or empower. I mean, if the Holy Spirit is a person, you either have him or you don't have him. I'm married to Dorothy, who's here this morning. I'm either a husband or I'm not a husband. I can't be almost a husband or half a husband. And sometimes we treat the Holy Spirit as some kind of a fluid. Half full, three-quarter full, almost full. Church, listen. You either have the Holy Spirit or you don't have. Romans 8 and verse 9, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Jesus. I get very concerned when people go to meetings and say, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me. And I'm like, Lord, don't. No, I'm not joking. I mean, seriously, Lord, don't. They leak. I mean, you can't be getting the Spirit and losing the Spirit and come again and get a refill. No free refills. You either have the Spirit or you don't have the Spirit. Church, here's the question. It's not whether you have more of the Holy Spirit. The question is whether the Holy Spirit has all of you. That is this question, theologically, on the filling of the Holy Spirit. Keep on being controlled. I love what one of my teachers who passed away during the pandemic, Gordon Fee, that charismatic scholar, put it right. His thesis, I love his textbook. It's called The Empowering Presence. God's Holy Spirit is the power, empowering presence within us. You know, when the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, when Paul says to them, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Did you get all that? All that we can ask in prayer or even imagine. But he doesn't finish in verse 20. He says, but that is according to the power. Who is that power? Not what. Who is that power? Well, I want to submit today that that power is plugged in and tapped into by none other than the means of prayer and praying in the Spirit. I want to address this difficult theological or thorny issue. What is this praying in the Spirit? What does it mean by the Spirit groaning within us with words that can't be expressed? Who is praying? I want to say it's a partnership. And I'm very concerned these days when people have this gospel that if you ask the Holy Spirit whatever in Jesus' name, like a mantra, he's going to give it to you. Listen, that is not the gospel. That's another gospel. That's the prosperity gospel. That's the name it and claim it gospel. That's the word of faith movement. That's the health and wealth stuff. He doesn't work for us. He's the sovereign Holy Spirit. He does whatever he wants. We work for him. And that's what, one of my teachers who passed away during the pandemic, Dr. Warren Wisby, used to tell us in class, I still remember, prayer is not getting my will done in heaven. Prayer is getting God's will done on earth. And prayer becomes the means by which God works. It is the very vital breath of the Christian. It is the power that moves the hand, that moves the world. And we need prayer. We need the Holy Spirit. So what exactly is this? Is getting what we want if we pray in Jesus' name, according to his will? What is his will? By the Holy Spirit. Well, what's that mean? I was listening to Bruce's talk about giving, and it reminded me of of this church where the pastor came and said to the elders, you know, we need some money for the repair of this roof, and we need $40,000. And someone said, well, let's pray about it. So they wanted to become very dramatical. So they actually went to the church with this roof, almost, you know, very shaky. And they said, let's hold hands and pray together by the Spirit. God will supply. And he nudges the first elder. He says, why don't you pray? So the elder bowed his head and he said, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, please, this roof is in a terrible condition. We need $40,000. Would you give us $40,000? And he hardly said, a brick fell on his head.
hard. He was so convicted. He didn't finish his prayer, so he had said, "Thank you, Holy Spirit, for convicting me. I will give $20,000 towards the building of the room." The next elder had to pray. He bowed his head. He said, "Holy Spirit, would you please drop one more brick on this elder's head?" You know, sometimes we don't understand what prayer is. Church, here's the news. We are at war. We are at war. Last month, I was in Pakistan, in Abbottabad, and I stood on the house foundations of Osama bin Laden. And I prayed for our Muslim friends in that area. One of our co-workers, some of you may know, I actually came to this country as the executive director for OTAN that we support, and worked with a lot in Vietnam with Mai till she passed away. But interesting, I stood there on this tomb and I said to my co-worker in Pakistan, "You lived 2 blocks away from Osama bin Laden's hideout? How was it?" He said, "You know, God brought me to this area." You should hear our nationals speak. I mean, they're like, "You know, God brought me here. He's going to protect me." He said, "Yeah, I watched the 2 choppers come and the snipers take him down." I was like, okay. Church, do we realize we're at war? We're in a spiritual war. Do we know we need equipment? Do we know how to engage? That is what prayer is. So let me just say a few things about spiritual warfare, but I must read for us our next text. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 was the other text given to me. Galatians chapter 5, and let me read verse 16. Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." Now we get the word pediatrics from this word walking. And I'm getting older. Soon I'm going to be 60, and I used to run. Then my knees hurt and traveling and all that stuff. So nowadays, Dorothy and I, we enjoy walking. I mean, people ask me, "Do you run?" I said, "Yeah, I run around the block 6 times. And then I push the block under my bed." Okay, so, and I'm like, I just walk. But there's something about the analogy of walking. Listen to this. When we walk, we act. Walking means action. But walking also means direction. If not, you're spinning, okay? Walking means action. Walking means direction. You know what else? It means determination, discipline. It doesn't come easy. So when we talk about prayer and praying in the Spirit, it's a spiritual discipline. But we're in a battle. You say, what battle? Well, let's read the text. "Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify or fulfill the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit." In case you didn't understand, he repeats it. "And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh." You get it? "For they are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So," verse 18, "be led by the Spirit. You are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh is evident," and he lists that. Church, and I don't know if how much my Pentecostal brothers and colleagues will agree with me, but I think we give the devil more due than is deserved. You know what I mean? The devil made me do it. I must confess, my worst enemy is inside this shirt. It's myself. We live in a fallen world, and we live with sinful flesh. We live in the now and the not yet. There's this tension, creative tension. We are in conflict. That's the groaning for the redemption, that one day there will be no more sin. Then there will not be no suffering and sorrow and that strife. But till then, we are wrestling. Paul put it this way. Romans chapter 7, verse 31. He says, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't do. Anyone here with that, with me? Yeah? "And the things that I should not do, I keep on." He said, "Oh, wretched man, who will deliver me from this body of sin?" Do you understand? We're at war. The flesh and the spirit. This is a struggle I have every day, moment by moment. This is the old sinful nature that's alive and well within each one of us. That's why we need prayer. This living by the Spirit is how the Holy Spirit can lead us, not into temptation, and deliver us. Church, this is very, very important to understand what's going on in this fleshly body of us. We're in tension. The Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted in the wilderness, Matthew 4. But he also overcame by the Spirit. And for me, it's amazing. This whole aspect of in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit, write this down, is not only praying according to the Father's will, it is also praying in Jesus' name, authority, and that is how we pray in the Spirit. Simply put, it means trusting in His Word. It means abiding in Christ, moment by moment, and not yielding to the flesh. This is very, very important. Because prayer is proportional to power. You say, what does that word proportionate mean? Well, let me put it this way. You ready for a chant this morning? Proportionate to power. What do you mean? More prayer, more power. Can you say that together? More prayer, more power. Less prayer, less power. Oh, come on. Can we say that a little louder? More prayer, more power. Less prayer, less power. No prayer, no power. Because prayer is proportional to power. The Holy Spirit is that power within us, the empowering presence. We must trust and obey. There is no other way. Well, there's one more thing I want to mention with this whole thing about the Holy Spirit and the whole aspect of what the Holy Spirit does in prayer. Let me put it this way. We don't even know what to pray. The Holy Spirit, our helper, intercedes. The word means he actually partners in prayer. He powerfully pleads on our behalf. That's the literal translation. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So, when we ask, we don't know what to ask. And if we do ask, we ask for the wrong things. Yeah, I mean, think with me. If we realize prayer is power, and we are all weak, why don't we pray? I told you, full disclosure, confession, prayer is my weakest area. Why don't I pray? If prayer is proportional to power. Martin Luther said, I have so many things to do, I need to pray more. He understood proportionality. So why don't we pray? Here's the thing. Why don't we ask? Number one, well, James puts it well. If any of you lack wisdom, and we do, what do? Ask God. So why don't we ask? Well, he says in chapter 4 and verse 2, you don't have because you don't ask. Then he says in verse 3, you ask and you don't get because you ask amiss for the wrong thing so you can consume it among your, for yourselves. Do you all understand this? The reasons why we don't pray, number one, we're ignorant of the power, our source of power. Secondly, we don't pray because we are arrogant. We don't think we need the Holy Spirit. We are all into DIY. What is DIY? Do it yourself. You know, this book was written to DIY people. Legalists. I'm not joking. Galatians was written to Judaizers. You can do it by yourself. And Paul says, stupid Galatians. You started by the Spirit and now you're going to work on your flesh and get this done. Foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? You know, there's something about Galatia I often think about. In the Roman Empire, when they conquered a certain province, one-third of the province they enslaved. Did you know that? One-third of Rome, ancient Rome under Pax Romana, were slaves. But when they came to the Gauls, you know, the Galatians, they enslaved 9 out of 10 of these people. You know why? They were hooligans, totally uncouth and couldn't be trusted. And Paul writes this letter. You know what the theme of Galatians is? Freedom in Christ. He says, you got a better master now. Count yourselves slaves to Jesus Christ, not to sin. So this whole aspect, the Holy Spirit aligns us to ask according to God's will. Secondly, he also gives us access to God's power because he is the power. I remember once bringing my daughter a gift from Singapore when she was a little kid. And I was, you know, open up the gift and impress them, you know, see what happens to this little lights come and, you know, sound and everything. So I've opened up the gift and she was there. Ah, show me, Dada. And I said, what's what happens? And I pressed the button. Nothing happened. I mean, it's so such a letdown. You buy this expensive toy from Singapore, bring it for your daughter, and it doesn't work. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I kind of looked at the back and it said, batteries are not included. You know what? When the Holy Spirit came into us, batteries were included. We have the power within us, access to God. And he gives us victory. That is the victory we have that overcomes the foe. So let me clarify, what then is this praying in the Spirit? I must confess, I'm a little bit confused myself. Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always, at all times, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, with all the, for all the saints. I mean, all. I mean, Paul, how can you? Or even 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without. Now, come on, seriously? I mean, I got other things to do. What is that? Or Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, continually in steadfast prayer. What does that mean? Let me give you three simple words to take home today. What it means to be in prayer. Prayer in the Spirit. Well, number one, prayer is calling. Oops. Prayer is calling. Where am I going? Is it there? Yeah. Prayer is crying. Number one, crying. I like this phrase. It's very simple. Psalm chapter 5, verse 1. The psalmist says, this man cried unto my Lord, and he heard my voice. Psalm 34, the Lord inclines the ear to the cries of his people. Now tell me, how eloquent do you need to be to cry in the King James Version? I mean, what language do you cry in? And do you go to school to learn three steps to cry? I mean, seriously, isn't this amazing? You cry. I remember when our eldest daughter was just born, what is it, like 2 months old she was in bed, and 2 months old little baby, 2 a.m, she would get up and say, Mom, Dad, would you go downstairs and get me a warm cup of milk? Is that what you know what she'll say? Ah! Are you okay? Sorry, yeah. She would just scream. She would cry. And her mother and I had the gift of interpretation of tongues. We knew exactly. We knew what she wanted. The nappies changed, the water, whatever. We knew it. How? Well, Jesus says that's what it is. He argues from the lesser to the greater. If you earthly parents know what to give to your children, how much more the Holy Spirit will be given by our Heavenly Father to those who ask. That is praying in the Spirit. What is this groaning? It is this yearning. You know, I sat there and I thought, maybe there's not too many songs about Christ, about the Holy Spirit this morning. But actually, when you think about Jesus Christ and the Spirit is a very shy person. Did you know that? He doesn't speak about himself. He points people to Christ. So the whole work of the Holy Spirit is, number one, to point us to Christ and to produce life in Christ. Secondly, the process of making us like Christ, regeneration, sanctification. Ultimately, it is to bring us to glory in Christ. That is what we must remember. Prayer is calling upon the Lord. I love that word, call. I grew up in a generation with all these love songs. You remember the time when you had to phone and you paid for every minute you used it? How many of you remember that? I mean, and these people who are in love, they just call. And they talk. And I remember, like, man, that's a lot of money going tick, tick, tick. But, you know, like Stevie Wonder or Lionel Richie, I just call to say, I love you. I mean, they don't even know what time it is. They just call. Today it's crazy. You call me Jane. That's not my name. I'm like, what? I mean, what is calling about? This is an SOS church. We call upon the Lord. Do you know God's phone number? Did I give you God's phone number? JER333. Write that down. PSA5015. Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will answer you. I will deliver you. And you will magnify my name. You better write down God's phone number. I love the hymn. Take time to be holy. Talk oft with your God. Abide with him always. Feed on his word. I think the best definition of prayer for me is communion. And the person that models perfect prayer is none other than our Lord Jesus. Church, listen to me. If there's one person who did not need to pray, who was that? The second person in the Trinity. And yet Jesus' life, Luke says, was characterized by travail and prayers and groaning. A verse that startles me is Matthew 14, verse 23. Jesus sends the crowds away. Imagine this, the good shepherd, go away, go away. He sends them away. He goes apart. There he is alone. Did you get those three words? Sent them away, went apart, stayed alone. Guess what he's doing? He's praying. This is why the disciples, they watched Jesus. And of all the things they could ask, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Could we do that this morning? We need to pray in the Spirit. So what exactly is this correlation between God's sovereign Spirit and supplication? Well, first of all, let me mention about this another helper. The Spirit himself helps us in prayer. The groaning to be conformed to the image of the Son, that is beyond words. It has nothing to do with speaking in tongues, for heaven's sake. Don't use that verse for speaking in tongues. You can come to another verse if you need to, but not that verse. Like creation groans for its redemption and perfection. The Christian also, the Holy Spirit helps us to become more like Jesus. That is praying in the Spirit. He is the advocate. Now follow this. We already have an advocate. Anyone? Tell me. The writer to the Hebrews says, we have an advocate. We have a high priest at the right hand of God. What is he doing? What is Jesus doing? Interceding for us, right? John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus. Are you ready? The Holy Spirit is our advocate on the earth. He is our advocate within us. He is praying, aligning our wills with God's will for Jesus' name's sake so that we could do what Jesus did. How important is praying in the Spirit? And even when we mess up, we have an advocate within us. One in heaven, one on earth. I think that's pretty secure. When Paul says, he who began a good work in you, Philippians 1 in verse 5, who is he talking about will bring it to completion? The Holy Spirit within us. And he is doing this according to his will. Church, this is very important. When I try, I fail. But when I trust, he succeeds. This morning, have you been trying? Listen, stop trying. Trust. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with spiritualities and powers. So what do we need to do, church, this morning? Would you stand strong and firm? Would you not only stand firm, would you put on the whole armor of God? I love the song. Stand up for Jesus. Put on the gospel armor. Put on each piece with prayer. With prayer. We progress on our knees. That's how we progress. Because when you're on your knees, you can't fall. Try it. Prayer is power. More prayer? Less prayer? No prayer? When I try, I fail. When I trust, he succeeds. Submission to the Holy Spirit. Well, we're going to pray, but let me say this. There's one more thing we'll repeat. When we pray in the Spirit, church, this is evidence that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of none other than Christ, is now within us. That's why we groan. So pray when you feel like it. You say, well, I don't feel like praying. Well, welcome to the club. There's many times I don't feel like praying either. So not only pray when you feel like it, pray when you don't feel like it. You know why? Prayer is dependence. It's saying, Lord, I need you. It's dependence on the Holy Spirit, who's working not only in us, he is working for us. And church, if God be for us, praying in the Spirit. Pray when you feel like it. Come on, say that. Pray when you feel like it. Pray when you don't feel like it. And pray until you. You know why? Because prayer is confidence. It is confidence, as 1 John chapter 4 says in verse 11 and 12. This is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Let us pray in the Spirit. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, would you quietly do, or maybe even ask, what the disciples of old asked Jesus? Church, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, notice the disciples didn't come to Jesus and say, teach us how to pray as a methodology. They did not say, can you have a seminar on prayer? Can you take a series on prayer? They just came and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Would you do that this morning? Would you, in the quietness of this moment, say, Lord, forgive me for relying on the flesh. I want to live by the Spirit. I want to know and learn to pray in the Spirit. Because when I try, I fail. The flesh is weak. Spirit is willing, flesh is weak. When I try, I fail. I want to trust and submit to the Spirit so that you will succeed in my life. Would you do that? You say, Lord, prayer is proportionate to power, and there's very little of that in my life. I need thee. Would you decide this morning, I'm going to pray when I feel like it. I'm going to pray even when I don't feel like it. And I'm going to pray until I feel like it. In Jesus' name.